Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team.
Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for tuning into our Army Wife Talk Radio podcast, which is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. This show is specifically designed to engage, educate, encourage, and empower those that are living this military life journey. Whether you're a military spouse or you have a family member serving, wherever you are around the globe, we are here for you. This is episode number 732, and I'm your host, Army Wife Network social media assistant, Joy Ortiz.
Hi, Joy, and I'm Army Wife Network Special Projects Coordinator, Maren Cheney. Joy is so right. Army Wife Network wants you to know that you are not going through this journey alone. We have the resources you need to meet you exactly where you are in military life, including segments such as Resource Recon, Empowerment in Action, and interviews with empowering guests, and so much more. Speaking of interviews, stay tuned because in a few minutes, we've got a very special show in store for you. First, we'll listen to an interview conducted by Army Wife Network Commander Sherita Knobloch as she chats with guest Lucy Piper, Military Spouse Program Coordinator with American Corporate Partners. Then later in the show, we'll also hear from Army Wife Network sponsor First Command when we hear from their CEO about financial resources available to service members in response to COVID-19.
Thanks for that, Maren. I'm super excited to be hosting with you today, and I'm pretty sure this is our first time hosting together. So what's been going on in your neck of the woods for you right now?
Well, not a whole lot. It's been a little quiet over here with the whole social distancing shelter order. My husband is primarily teleworking. Occasionally he does go into the office. So that has been a unique transition we've been trying to navigate as we're both home 24/7, which is not something we've ever been used to. So we've kind of come up with a little schedule, like doing our own things in the morning and then making sure we have the evenings as we normally would at night, which has kind of helped. But we've been playing lots of games and watching lots of shows and all of that good stuff. I feel like I've been cooking more than normal, which is not usually my forte, but I'm like, what else do we do? So yeah, it's been chill. It's definitely been a big adjustment, but just trying to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't be here too much longer in this situation, but how are things on your end?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I actually am still working from home full time. I work for a cancer center here in Jacksonville, but I actually just started a new job last week for another, it's a financial company here in Jacksonville, but it's worldwide. So I have been there for a week now and I work primarily remotely, which has been great. So I get to, you know, transition from working from home like I was used to and to permanently working from home with this new company. So it came at a good time considering everything that's happening in the world right now. The only like downfall, not really downfall, but it's just hard to manage having to homeschool a five-year-old. Luckily, his schoolwork isn't too crazy. It's nothing like core method math or anything crazy, like super, super hard for a five-year-old. But just balance, trying to balance, you know, his schoolwork and my full-time work. And then we have a one-year-old. So just, it's just been crazy in the house for a little bit. So
Definitely.
Yeah. You never really realize how much patience it takes to teach a five-year-old. When we used to have to do homework during, you know, when school was in session, they would have homework probably like once every like 2 weeks. And like, it was just hard to have patience with him. Cause you don't really put yourself in his shoes. So you don't know how to think like a five-year-old, obviously. But now like you really appreciate those people, the teachers that take their time out of their day and, you know, went to school for this and have all that patience to teach a group of five-year-olds. So shout out to teachers. If you're a teacher and you're listening, power to you guys. Cause you guys are really, really MVPs for all parents. Cause we cannot do this without you. I could not come up with a curriculum every week. Luckily they still do that. So all we're really doing is facilitating it and overseeing what they're doing. But for real, teachers out there, if you're listening, you know, we are, you know, behind you 100%. And parents, I'm sure a lot of parents took their teachers for granted and we're not doing that anymore. So, but it's been really nice, like you said, to have the still at nighttime, have that family time, like we're used to. It, you know, it's been hard trying to schedule or trying to balance different schedules because we're all up. Everybody on top of everybody all the time. So, but we, you know, it's just nice to have everybody home and looking forward to whenever this quarantine is over and COVID is not part of our lives for a long, long time.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point too. Like, I know I was talking with my sister and she was like, we internalize like how it affects us individually, but like also thinking about how it affects the kids and how their schedule is so different is important too. So yeah, even especially with doing school from home, but congrats on the new job. That's so exciting. That's definitely a silver lining during this time.
But yeah, thank you for the congrats. I do appreciate it. Like I said, I'm still learning everything, you know, with this new chapter of my career. But you know, pray for me that I'm able to have that smooth transition still. But it's good to catch up with you, Maren. So now let's listen in as Lucy Piper, Military Spouse Program Coordinator with American Corporate Partners, aka ACP, talks about how she is responsible for creating partnerships and cultivating relationships with veterans, MIL spouses, business leaders, and other veterans organizations.
Greetings and welcome to another empowering installment of Army Wife Talk Radio's interview segment. I'm Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. Today, we will chat with Lucy Piper, a USMC veteran spouse and military-focused social worker who manages American Corporate Partners, ACP for short, free mentorship program for active duty military spouses. ACP is a national nonprofit that assists military veterans and families with career readiness through mentorship. In her role as program coordinator, Lucy is responsible for creating partnerships and cultivating relationships with veterans, military spouses, business leaders, and other veteran service organizations. A New York native, she relocated frequently to follow her husband's 9-year career in the Marine Corps, which took their young family from coast to coast. Like most military spouses, her career has been diverse by necessity and includes roles such as stylist, fitness director, military family readiness advisor, and program director at the corporate offices of a health and wellness company. Following her husband's transition from the military life back into civilian life, Lucy obtained a Master's of Social Work with a focus on military families and veterans from Stony Brook University in New York. She also holds a bachelor's degree in health and wellness. Lucy is a member of the Phi Alpha Honor Society for Social Workers and is also a proud mother of three. Wow, Lucy, you are one accomplished woman. Welcome to the show.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to hearing more about your story and sharing that with our listeners and also learning more about ACP. So I say we jump on in there.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Well, Lucy, can you tell us a little bit more about your military story beyond what we just heard in your bio?
Absolutely. So I think that my story is probably similar to a lot of others. My husband and I met in high school. We were high school sweethearts. We are from New York City, both of us. So we kind of did our thing and had a career and kind of a life together before he eventually enlisted in the Marine Corps. So we were married right before he left. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. You know, I think that we all experienced very similar things moving to a new duty station, kind of trying to figure out who you are in this new role. I know that boot camp and MCT and MOS school and all of those were a really big shift for me, learning how to acclimate into military lifestyle and what does it mean to be a spouse. And then shortly after we started having kids. And so then, you know, you learn a new role. What does it look like to be a mom, to be a military spouse, to live in a place without family supports and everything else? And my husband was a careerist until he suddenly wasn't anymore. And we didn't really have a good contingency plan because it kind of wasn't what we expected. You know, and that's kind of what led, I came back to New York and became a social worker because I knew that I was just so passionate about giving back to the military and veteran community. I didn't want to part with that. We kind of were just thrust out of it really quickly. And that's kind of what landed me back into a role like this, working with active duty military spouses.
How did the military impact your professional development, looking for a career, pursuing that social work opportunity? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that it definitely led me down a road that I didn't see myself going. So before he joined, I was a hairstylist at a salon on Park Avenue in New York City. And I really thought that that was it. I was making really good money. But, you know, we run into these impasses as a military spouse. I couldn't transfer my license over from New York to California seamlessly. So I kind of put that on hold and thought about what I wanted to do and ended up going back to school. And I got my associate's in military history, which is probably the most useless degree there could ever be. but I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I kind of just jumped into something that I thought was really interesting, and it was. And then I was done with that and was like, well, now what do I do? You know, what do you do with that? So then I went back and I got my bachelor's in health and wellness because I started to really understand that I loved being home with my littles, but that wasn't who I was. I needed mm-hmm. something just for me. And so I started to feel that out. And the one thing that I felt I was really connected to was the one thing I loved about working in a salon was talking to people and helping people in some way, shape or form. And that's kind of how it played out. So that having to learn to adapt and overcome, having to, you know, reformat who you are and what you want to do based on PCSs and all of these things really led me down a different path and eventually led me into social work.
I feel like your story is really going to resonate with a lot of our listeners, also because we here at AWN, we joke about it all the time, but we say that we live by the no plan plan. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the plan and then we're like, that's not really a plan. And here's a new direction. And that sounds exactly how you were called to your field in health and wellness and then social work and now with ACP.
Yes, ma'am. Thinking, exactly.
Yeah. Thinking about all of that, how was the transition from active duty life to civilian life for your family, your husband, your kids, and yourself?
Yeah, it was really rough. I had multiple careers. So I did my health and wellness. That put me working in a company that did nutrition planning. And I love that. And then we PCS'd to Cherry Point, North Carolina. So if there are any Marine Corps spouses listening, you all know that it's kind of a very remote place. And that led me into a fitness director in a well-known gym. I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then we had that transition into civilian life. So once again, I had to recreate who I was and what that was going to look like. And it was hard. It was hard for all of us. And that's what really threw me into social work is that I just couldn't imagine, you know, what I was going to do without my identity, which for the last 9 years had been military spouse, you know, and so I needed a way to reconnect, reimagine who I was and how I was going to give back to people. And also just reacclimate to life. We had been gone for so long. You know, 9 years goes by in a blink and also is a very long time to be away from home. So New York City felt so different than it did before we left pre-kids, pre-military, pre-like family.
That makes a lot of sense. And I, even though it was difficult, I appreciate how that rocky kind of transition maybe informed your professional experience and now has really given you, of course, boots on the ground experience of these military spouses and families who are also transitioning and trying to create or discover their own no plan plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thinking back, if there's one thing that you could go back and tell yourself when you were an active duty military spouse, what would it be? Or what would you tell other spouses now that maybe are in similar position?
I would say that to myself, you can be an amazing military spouse, an amazing mom, and also have something that's all your own. I think that that was one of the things that I felt like was missing at the end. And I think that's why it was so hard to transition back into civilian life is those things were so important to me. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be to you, but reserving some small sliver of yourself for just yourself, whether that means a professional career or a love for yoga or, I don't know, creating, you know, jewelry on the side, whatever that is for you, take the time, even if it's just a few minutes a week, to invest in yourself, because that's what I didn't do enough. I just didn't feel like I knew myself mm-hmm. enough at the end to know what to do with myself when all of a sudden my identity was gone.
That is very sage wisdom. I'm like, I'm like subconsciously like writing that down. Yeah, for sure. So Lucy, how has your background in military social work now prepared you to take on this role as military spouse program coordinator at American Corporate Partners?
I think it just played in tremendously, and it's one of those kismet moments. So I went back for a degree in social work, and I was kind of prepared for a very different career. I interned in homeless veteran services, which I loved, but I just didn't connect to quite as much. And then I did an internship at the VA where I worked on a military sexual trauma unit, which was amazing and beautiful and also so heavy. Mm-hmm. And as a mom of three kids ages 10 and under, who need me to be able to come home and be a mom and want to listen mm-hmm. and not want to shut myself up in my room because I'm just mentally and emotionally exhausted, I just couldn't continue on down that path right now. I would love to revisit it maybe later. Mm-hmm. But right now, I just couldn't dedicate 100% of myself to that kind of work. And that's what you need to do. So I started thinking, what else can I do within social work? What is my education and my background prepared me for? And I think that it's advocacy, it's growing relationships with other military spouses, with veterans, with other organizations who work with military spouses and veterans and veteran families to make sure that we are working our best to support their needs. Because I know it and I see it every day. The needs of the military community are so much different than their civilian counterparts. And that's not to say that we're better or worse off. It's just to say that we're different. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be somebody who can say, I've lived this lifestyle and I understand the obstacles. I also understand how amazing this community is and how resilient and loyal these spouses really are. They're going to be some of the best employees that you could ever have. You just need to learn how to adjust to their lifestyles a little bit better. And so that's really brought me, you know, into this program and into this role.
I want to commend you for your wisdom as far as seeing that trauma career experience that you enjoyed, but knew this maybe just wasn't the season for that. You had the bandwidth for that. I've been in the same position. You know, I'm working on my doctorate right now in pastoral mm-hmm. care and counseling, and I'm really passionate about trauma, but I'm like, I have two small humans right now. Great. And I have to have the bandwidth to like take care of them. So maybe in a future season, kind of like you mm-hmm. said, maybe later you might revisit that. But for now, focusing on a different no plan plan that is even a great fit for your skill set, but also a great fit for your family needs and your season of life. Mm-hmm. Well, Lucy, I've enjoyed a ton already just talking to you, learning about your history and kind of what led you down this path with American Corporate Partners. And I'm excited that in just a few moments after the break to dig deeper and learn even more about your role with ACP. Listeners, if you would like to connect with ACP or Lucy Piper, you can find them online on LinkedIn, Lucy Piper, that's L-U-C-I-E, Piper, M-S-W, on Facebook at American Corporate Partners, Instagram and Twitter at ACP_USA, or check out their website, www.acp-usa.org. Now it's time for that quick commercial break. We'll be right back. This podcast episode was brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, First Command Financial Services, whose mission is to help our nation's military families build a future worthy of their service. First Command provides ongoing financial coaching that evolves over the course of your military life and career. And with 170 locations worldwide, you'll find a First Command office near most major military installations. Visit www.firstcommand.com today and find a First Command financial coach near you.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
We are back talking with American Corporate Partners Military Spouse Program Coordinator, Lucy Piper. Lucy, let's get even deeper and more specific about your role with this organization. Tell us, what is ACP and what does ACP do for military spouses?
So ACP was actually founded in 2008, and it started as an organization that works specifically with post 9/11 veterans and transitioning service members. And it's kind of premised on this idea of big brothers, big sisters. And so what we do is we provide free one-on-one mentorships with, you know, our corporate partners to help with all things professional development. So over the course of 12 months, we're pairing, it used to be just veterans and transitioning service members, and now including military spouses, with field experts to help do lots of different things. It's really a matter of, you know, it's customizable. So it's completely up to what that participant needs to focus on, whether it is resume, translating military skills, leveraging volunteerism, filling gaps in resumes, you know, working on networks or LinkedIn or really whatever they need to do. So, you know, in the past, a little over a year now, we started this program for military spouses premised on that original program, but now really identifying the things that are specific to spouses. Because earlier I shared, you know, our obstacles are different. You know, we are really well educated. I think that we're great employees, but I think we all struggle with those same kind of things. How do you talk about gaps in your resume? How do you go into an interview and confidently talk about, you know, having to leave a career or having left multiple careers or change or shifting gears within your career. So it's really a wonderful program and aimed specifically at the things that I think we've all dealt with.
I feel like there's such a gap in that. Like, you guys are filling such a gap. I used to work back in the day, you know, before I said I do to my beloved soldier, I worked in HR for a corporation, and hiring people and seeing those gaps in the resume, you know, I didn't really encounter a lot of mill spouses necessarily, but I even see that now. Like, I dabbled a couple years ago with maybe I should get a job, and just trying to step out and get my toes wet, dip them in the water was really difficult, because it's like, I've been doing a lot of cool stuff, but how do I translate that into, this is why we move every 2 years, or I have small humans at home, or what do you mean I'm overqualified?
Right.
Isn't that a good thing? You know? Yep. So, I'm really glad you guys are filling that gap, and I'm sure you're value added for the organization helping military spouses. But tell us, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, absolutely. I think that it was one of those, you know, we really became experts at facilitating these one-on-one mentorships. And that's why we just decided there's more that we can do. There are more, you know, we can help support military families, you know, going in and providing mentorships for active duty service members who want to continue a 20 plus year career may not be the best fit. But what we can do is support the family by making sure that the spouses of those service members are well supported in there. So, you know, I think that it was an important value add. I think it's just been amazing for me to come on board and be involved in it and just see these success stories, these spouses go through the program and really feel like they're being heard and they're being valued and somebody is in their corner, whether it be a sounding board or a cheerleader or whatever they need throughout this journey.
I don't think it's any secret, based on your tone, that you are so super passionate about this and you're just jazzed up and this is your jam. And I love that.
Yep.
Tell us why you're so passionate about this program, Lucy.
I think it's just who I am and who I've become over the past, you know, decade or so. These are my friends. These are my family. It's no secret to you or anybody else tuning in. You know, when you become part of a military family, you leave behind your own blood family in some way, and you have to rely on your neighbors, your new best friend who you just met 2 weeks ago because you just PCS there. And so I've watched my friends, myself, you know, go through this journey. And I know that there is just so many beautiful things that they can accomplish. They just don't have the tools. And there are all of these job placement programs, which are phenomenal. But if you're not up to speed, if you don't know how to get your foot in the door, if you don't know how to talk about these things, or you're uncomfortable, or you need somebody just to guide you through, how do you do that when you're constantly moving and also putting out fires at home and doing all of these other things that we all do day to day.
Let's talk even more specifically, because I loved how just a few minutes ago you mentioned, of course, corporate partners, these mm-hmm. corporations, this mm-hmm. customizable plan, person on person. What kind of mentorships are available for military spouses when they're ready to connect?
Yeah. So the great thing is I did mention corporate partners, and that's how it was founded. We partner with a couple of really wonderful companies. Now it's grown to over 80 corporate partners from all different walks of life and all different kind of companies, some of the ones that you would come across every day. But the wonderful thing is that the spouse program kind of came out separately from that. So while we do have our mentors from all of our 80 plus partner companies, which if you jump on the website that Jared had mentioned before, you can take a look at all of those wonderful organizations, but the spouse program was funded under a grant. And the wonderful thing about that is we knew that not every military spouse was going to want to be paired with somebody from a corporate environment. You know, there are different things that spouses do. They're interested in entrepreneurship and small business and helping professions and healthcare and lots of other places that we didn't have corporate partners per se. So what we were able to do with this amazing grant is start looking elsewhere for mentors who were better equipped to deal with military spouses and their obstacles and what they're dealing with. So we were able to bring on mentors from lots of different areas, education, and who are, themselves are small business owners or career coaches and lots of different things to make sure that we are able to provide a mentor who can really speak to what the specific military spouses enrolling in our program wants to do or where they need the most help.
Well, here's a question. Mm-hmm. What if the military spouse doesn't know what they'd like to do professionally, or maybe they have a lot of different ideas? How do you mm-hmm. guys help guide them in that process?
What we do is we are very, very high touch. We do everything by hand here at ACP. So no program algorithm is going to just kind of pair up our military spouses coming in and our mentors. So once you apply for the program, you'll actually get a real person who will reach out to you and do a phone call with you to get to know you a little bit better. So they're going to ask you questions about what you're most interested in, what type of supports do you need, what kind of person ideally would you like to be linked up to. And so they're going to work through that with you in a joint effort to make sure that we're identifying somebody who can help you. But even still, at the end of this call, if that person is like, I'm not sure what I want to do, that's okay too. You've got 12 months with somebody to figure that out. So maybe it's a kind of, I would generally like to go into this field, or I have ideas of maybe doing this. Let's figure that out. Maybe it's a career coach. Maybe it's somebody who isn't specifically involved in one career field at all, but can speak to sorting out the process. Or maybe it's somebody who's going to guide you more on the education side. What degrees might be interesting to you? What are the next steps? How do we, and work through that? So there's a million different paths, because no two military spouses are alike. No two mentorships are alike. No two mentors are alike. So everything is going to be completely up to each pair that we have.
What other support does ACP provide military spouses?
So as well as the one-on-one mentorship, so you'll have your monthly calls with your mentor. You'll also have your monthly calls with an ACP point of contact here, who's going to check in with you and your mentor every 4 to 6 weeks or so to see how things are going, make sure that you both are staying connected, troubleshoot anything that comes up. We're also going to fill in any gaps that may occur. So we'll be there to send you specific resources that you need at any given point during your mentorship. And we also have another side of the house where we do monthly workshops online. Usually they're Zoom. Some of them are Facebook Live now, where we have special guests. Most of them are our mentors in our program come on and talk about things that are specific to women in professional development. Mm-hmm. So some of them are going to be specifically military spouse focused. Some of them are just going to be more general, women in corporate America, or, a female in a male dominated world, those kind of things. So I want to make sure that we're supporting all around, not just through the one-on-one mentorship, but that we're creating a safe space for all of our military spouses to learn how to grow professionally.
So before we move on, I'm mm-hmm. poking around on your website here. I've already checked it out once, but I'm falling more and more in love with it as we talk. It's getting me all excited. Like, I don't feel like I'm called to go back to work right now, but I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I should look at this. But you guys, ACP is a nonprofit, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So is there, when a military spouse is like, okay, is there a risk? Is there a cost to them applying for the program? What does that process look like?
None at all. So, on our veteran side, the mentorships are financed by our corporate partners. On the spouse side, it is completely financed through grants that we've received. There is never, ever, any cost for our military spouses or our veterans. So it is 100% free. It is very, very low risk. It is very high reward. Really, the only thing that you will have to do is invest your time. Mm-hmm. and it's investing in yourself. So it's not for us, it's for you. So it's really, you determine. So we ask that you connect with your mentor for 1 hour per month. But again, we don't micromanage the relationship between you and your mentor. We're here to help facilitate and we're here to check in, but that looks different for every pair. Maybe it's a 1 hour block once a month. Maybe it's half an hour biweekly. Maybe it's 15 minutes a week in between bath and bedtime. Whatever that looks like is completely fine because it's up to you and your mentor to decide what's going to work best for the two of you. Some pairs talk more than 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Some pairs, that's kind of the minimum and that's all they do. You're really in the driver's seat. So you get out of this program what you put into it.
So quick question also with that. If someone's interested, hopefully lots of our listeners are interested, how do they get the application process started?
Yep. It is super, super simple. So if you go to our webpage, acp-usa.org, and you hover over where it says mentoring program, you're going to go down to the spouse application tab. And then you'll hit the apply now and start entering your information. I want to, make everybody aware, like I said earlier, we're going to call you to capture all of your information to make sure that we're pairing you with the absolute best mentor that we have available for you. So you don't have to sit with this application for hours and hours and fill in every detail. Mm. We're going to call you to get that. This is just the first step to make sure that we are able to contact you and to get you enrolled in the program. So it's super simple, couple of screens, just enter in, as much information as you have right on hand, and then we'll fill in the gaps on the back end. We just want to make sure that we are getting spouses in and getting them linked up with mentors who truly just want to help. They are volunteers. Mm-hmm. So they are here for you because they want to help you succeed.
Wow. I am so excited to learn about this. Like, I feel like I was not tracking this, but ACP, the MilSpouse side's only been around for what? Did you say a year?
Yep. So we just had our 1 year anniversary in November. So almost a year and a half now. And it is a newer program. So we get that quite often that people think that it's only a veteran program. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to build up a presence. And that's one thing that we're starting to feel out. We just started a new Instagram page so that we can better connect with our military spouses and find out more about them and connect with them a little bit more personally. We're still feeling out how this all kind of looks for our military spouses and how do we pull out the great parts of the veteran program that have worked so well and how do we adapt them to make sure that they fit the needs of the military spouse population. We want to make sure that our military spouses know we're not grouping you in with veterans. We know you are different. We know that you've got your own needs and your own wants and your own desires and you are your own people. And so we're just trying to build a program that works for you guys. That's what it's all about.
That's so great. And I'm so glad I'm glad you've only been around a year and a half because now I don't feel like I'm late to the party. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I not know about this? This is so cool. And that's what I love about doing these interviews is it's so profound. Even for me, my husband was asking me this morning what I was, going to try to do today with both children at home in the background. I was like, well, I've got a podcast interview and he asked me who it was with and I gave kind of a very short elevator pitch and he started asking more questions and I was like, I don't know. Like other than poking around their website, I don't know. But man, when he comes home today, he's getting an earful. It's going to be good. tell him what I learned today. This is awesome.
Well, I hope to see both of your applications come through at some point with us. We'd love to help you both.
Well, I'm earmarking a lot of these things because he's going to be transitioning out in the next few years. So I'll be like, here's a whole list of resources. Go, absolutely. Husband, go.
And that's the big piece for that transition that I touched on earlier for me, you know, the other piece, I think if I could go back in time and just say to myself, like, be better prepared, even though you don't know what's coming, be better prepared. So definitely for those spouses who are looking towards their service members transition, you know, or retirement, get involved now. Don't wait till the last minute. You know, even if that EAS or ETS is a couple of years down the road, it's only going to help you. You're only going to grow. And again, even if that's figuring out what you want to do when you grow up, I can't tell you how many times I use that phrase in my life. When I grow up, I will be, I have no idea. That's okay. But that's okay.
The next big kid job. That's what I say. Like, what am I going to do when I'm a big kid? Good question. Good question.
Yep.
Well, Lucy, where can our listeners go to find out even more empowering information about this super great program as MillSpouse mentorship with ACP?
Yep. Again, you want to jump on the website and put in an application so that we can reach out to you directly. I'll also give you my email address, which is L Piper. So that's L as in Lucy, PIPER@acp-usa.org. I am always 100% ecstatic to jump on a call with somebody who wants to find out more information or wants to see if this program is right for them. I'm sure you guys can tell I live, sleep, eat, breathe this. My husband hates me that some days I'm on my phone until way later than I should be because I just love connecting with other military spouses so much. So please email me, go to our website, acp-usa.org, and put in your application. You know, check us out on Instagram. We've got a new page, ACP Military Spouse. So like us on there, follow us on there. You know, we want to connect with you on whatever platform works best for you, answer any questions you have, get you linked up with a mentor so that we can help you. Let us do the heavy lifting.
Twist my arm. I feel like most spouses, we do a lot of heavy lifting anyways. Yep. And you know that from experience. And so anytime we can outsource that or ask for a little bit of help to carry our mill spouse metaphorical rucksacks when it comes to building a career, I think is absolutely a win for everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
Lucy, as you know, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is empowerment. So we always want to hear what empowerment means to our guests. Tell us, how would you complete the sentence? Empowerment is...
So my social worker is going to show here. I think to me, empowerment is finding that confidence that is needed to just take authority over your own needs, your own wants, your own beliefs and feelings, whatever that looks like to you.
Yes, I don't feel like we could end this interview any stronger than that. Absolutely. I support that 112%. Thank you so much, Lucy. What a great conversation. I just so appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to share your experience as program coordinator for the MillSpouse program at ACP. We do wish you all the best as you continue to equip military spouses for their educational journey. What a joy it is to talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. It's been a pleasure. And I can't wait to see all those applications coming in, guys.
Open the floodgate.
Yes.
Let's go, Army Wife Network.
Can't wait.
Go over to ACP and get your application in for sure.
What a great interview. So thankful for Lucy Piper for joining us to share her empowering resources about ACP and the services they provide to the military community with us this week. Again, if you would like to connect with ACP, check them out online on Facebook and LinkedIn at American Corporate Partners, at Twitter and Instagram at ACP_USA, and YouTube at ACP Viewpoints. It's nice to be able to have resources like ACP for veterans and their spouses as they transition out of the military. And I wish I had known about this type of organization when my husband got out of the Army back in 2016. It would have been super helpful for me, especially just because, you know, trying to find work as a military spouse when you get out is difficult. Luckily, I have a master's degree, so it's not as hard, but I can only imagine for those who don't have, you know, the education background like that, you know, getting into a workforce that you're not familiar with, you know, going to a place where you're not familiar with, whether it is you don't go back home or you do go back home for wherever that may be for anybody. It's hard to, you know, transition out of what you're used to, however many years you're in the military, to something that you're not used to. So
having a resource like this is very helpful for veterans and their spouses. Even though I didn't use it and I didn't know about it when we got out, it would have, you know, been helpful, but we made it work when we transitioned out of the Army. And instead of my husband going directly into the workforce, he used his GI Bill and he's almost done. He has the rest of the semester and then summer, and then he's done. So maybe we'll use this resource when the time comes, or maybe we won't, but it's just nice to know that we have it there. And for those who need that, these type of resources, it's heartwarming to know that they exist and that those veterans and their spouses don't have to be in limbo once they leave the military. What did you think about the interview, Maren?
So I absolutely loved listening to this interview. I like felt so much more energized and empowered, and like all the wheels were turning when I was listening to this interview, because I felt like I resonated with so much about what Lucy shared with us, especially me being a new military spouse. I know for me, when I graduated college in 2017, my initial plan was in my head, like, oh, I'll go to college and then I'll either get a master's or go to law school. And then my husband and I ended up getting engaged, which completely changed our plan, especially since our current duty station doesn't have a law school relatively close at all. So that was really difficult for me. And I was trying to figure out, like, you know, I always wanted a career and I knew I wanted to be in the legal field. So I took a slight detour and I've been working as a paralegal the last 3 years, which honestly has been really fulfilling and I've loved it.
That's great.
Thanks. And I know, like, after we got engaged, my husband was deployed during our engagement. So I recently moved to Fort Bliss. So I know PCSing and job hunting is so hard. And I just want to encourage fellow male spouses out there. It's so hard to feel discouraged if you can't find the exact job you're looking for or whatever your avenue or career path is. But I've been trying to just look at it as a roadmap to getting to where I want to go. And it's helped alleviate a little bit of stress. I know it's not exactly maybe what we would dream of, but something is something is what I keep telling myself.
Yeah.
So I know that I can greatly benefit from ACP resources, especially I know Lucy mentioned tackling interviews and explaining the gaps in change of employment. This can be so beneficial because I feel like I've been told, you know, some employers don't love the fact that you could be leaving so soon and I never know how to navigate that. So that would be really helpful. And my husband, he's not sure if he's doing career or how many years we'll stay in, but I'm always trying to plan the next step and kind of get ahead of whatever we're going to face next as much as I can in the Army. But I'm really excited about this free and customized resource. And my husband's also, you know, trying to figure out when he's going to use his GI Bill too. So this is definitely going to be really beneficial for both of us. Here's another one of our command team members with weekly Empowerment Patrol report.
Hello, AWTR listeners. For this week's Empowerment Patrol Report, we are showcasing Band of Blogger, Anna Johnson Larson, for diligently meeting every deadline and writing stories that stick with us. Anna grew up in the beautiful, idyllic Pacific Northwest, wearing socks with sandals, recycling when it wasn't a thing, and having no idea how to pump her own gas. In 2006, she agreed to marry her soldier with the promise that he'd travel the world with her. Two children, 11 and 7, and one fur baby later, he didn't disappoint. Their nomadic family of 5 has spent the past 16 years visiting as many countries as they can. In her free time, Anna writes, dabbles in art and photography, and homeschools her 2 seriously cool kids. She just made the big decision to quit 16 years of corporate marketing and program management to strike out on her own. Nomad About offers copywriting, web design, and social media strategies for small businesses. You can find her on social media by looking for at I Am Nomad About. Thanks again, Anna Larson, for doing your part to empower military families around the globe.
Congratulations to Band of Blogger Anna Larson on being this month's recipient of our MRE, or Motivated and Ready to Empower Award.
Listeners, if you or someone you know is empowering those around you, head over to armywifenetwork.com to nominate them. On our website, look under the menu for Get Involved and click on the tab Everyday Empowerment, or AWN Empowers. You can also view our previous winners in our Empowerment Gallery.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear from our incredible News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, who is bringing us this week's top stories and need-to-know news.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At ArmyWifeNetwork.com, you can find more than 2,000 blog posts about deployment, ECS, Army life, health, and more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Aaron from Fort Riley says, I use AWN on a weekly basis to get the support my family and I need to thrive in this military life. Tap into all of our empowering resources at www.armywifenetwork.com. No news is typically good news in this military life,
except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Joy and Marin. Here's this week's top stories. The military travel ban has been extended until June 30th, reported military.com. This includes domestic travel and permanent change of station moves. Military.com reported that there will be some eased restrictions, but no specifics were given by officials. Understanding we are approaching our major permanent change of station season, the department will actively provide support options to assist our people, said Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness Matthew Donovan. The new guidance allows travelers who are in the middle of temporary duty travel or permanent change of station moves to continue on to their home stations or new duty stations. It also exempts travel for medical reasons. Read more at military.com. In a special news report, NBC News shed light on voting by mail concerns that have surfaced amid the spring elections impacted by COVID-19. The report shares great detail of how military members have voted during conflicts dating back to the Revolutionary War. During the Civil War, about 150,000 of the 1 million Union soldiers were able to vote absentee in the 1864 presidential election in what became the first widespread use of non-in-person voting in American history. Read more of how the U.S. military paved the way for absentee voting at NBCNews.com. The National Museum of the United States Army is delaying its June 2020 opening, reported Army.mil. The press release shared that the stay-at-home mandates had impacted the ability to finish some of the galleries. Although disappointing, postponing the opening of the museum is a proactive and appropriate decision, said Tammy E. Call, the museum's director, and we stand ready to resume that work as soon as possible. The National Museum of the United States Army is located at Fort Belvoir in Virginia. When it opens, the museum will be free to the public and will showcase the United States Army's 244-year history. Read more about the National Museum of the United States Army at army.mil. A 97-year-old quarantined veteran Navy pilot brought joy across the internet with his dance moves. Milwaukee resident named Chuck is a World War II veteran, and he brought smiles to viewers with his smooth moves. He danced on his front porch that was decorated with an American flag. Chuck danced to Justin Timberlake's Can't Stop the Feeling and saluted the flag at the end, reported Fox 26 News in Houston. The video was originally posted by Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. The organization honors veterans with a life-changing trip to Washington, D.C. to visit the memorials and experience a day of honor and thanks. To date, Stars and Stripes Honor Flight has flown over 7,600 veterans. Learn more at starsandstripeshonorflight.org. And we have a link to the video of Chuck dancing posted on armywifenetwork.com. It's definitely worth your time. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your AWN News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
I am so grateful for Jolene's desire to bring us the most up-to-date military life news to make sure we are as informed as we can be. Just a reminder, we would like again to thank our show sponsor, First Command.
As promised, it's now time for our special feature this week. Here's Army Wife Network sponsor and First Command CEO, Mark Steffi, S-T-E-F-F-E, sharing insight and financial resources for military service members in response to coronavirus.
Hello again, listeners. I'm Sherita Knobloch, once again, your Army Wife Network commander. And nope, this isn't AWTR deja vu, but you are hearing another interview from me in this episode because we have an extra special resource to share with you today. Army Wife Network supporter and sponsor, First Command Financial Services, would like to share some insight on how to financially respond to all things COVID-19 from a military family perspective. So for this special feature, I'm so privileged to talk with Mr. Mark Steffi, President and CEO of First Command Financial Services. Mark joined First Command Financial Services in March 2010. He served several field and home office roles within the company, including Chief Operating Officer. In 2020, Mark accepted the role of President and Chief Executive Officer. In this position, Mark leads the company on a number of important strategic priorities, including the continuous improvement of the First Command client experience, focusing on military engagement, the continuing adaptation to a rapidly evolving digital world, and leadership development. Before joining First Command, Mark served in a number of leadership roles with major companies in the financial services industries, including TIAA, formerly TIAA-CREF, and UBS Financial Services, formerly Payne Webber. Mark earned a Bachelor's of Science degree in finance from the University of Illinois, graduating with high honors. He holds Series 7, 8, 23, 63, and 65 securities registration, plus life and health insurance licenses. Thank you so much for making time in your schedule to join us on this special feature interview, Mark.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm so excited to dive in and get some feedback and learn a little bit more about First Command and how military families can be financially responsible during this time. So talk to us as we start here about some things we can do as family now to be smart about our finances.
From a savings perspective, there's a handful of things I'd recommend. The first one is sit down with yourself or with your spouse or significant other and review your budget and really start to understand where your money goes and what you're spending, your money on. And I think at times like these, we start to realize the nice to haves from the have to haves. And if you're looking to save money, there's probably some nice to haves that, you know, maybe we don't really need, you know, at least for the next few weeks. And you might find that you don't need them for the long term either. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, has kind of, I guess if there's a silver lining in all this, some of the benefits, you know, with gas prices have come down quite a bit and people aren't driving nearly as much anyway. Things like dining out or going to the movies, those expenses are gone. I'm on a lot of Zoom calls and I'm seeing people aren't getting nearly as many haircuts these days and like that. So those are some big ones just to start capturing those expense reductions and making sure that you understand the money you're saving and that you used to spend on those things and start tucking that away into a savings account. I'd also encourage people to look at monthly subscriptions, things that, you know, get hit our credit card every month that we just sort of forget to pay attention to, whether that's a subscription to magazines or subscription to gym subscriptions are a great one. So, or memberships, right? And so gyms are closed, but that doesn't mean people or the gyms aren't still hitting your credit card for those monthly fees. And if you're not going, you probably don't want to be paying. So you could at least suspend that for a while. Debt consolidation loans are a big thing. People tend to have two or three credit cards possibly, and they're running up balances there. And with interest rates coming down so much, there's an opportunity to take those high interest rate credit cards and refinance them into a single debt consolidation loan that will typically carry a much lower interest rate. So you can save a lot of money just lowering your interest rate on what you're paying on the credit cards, for instance. Refinancing your mortgage, if you've got the opportunity to that, if you own a home and it's been a while since you've refinanced your mortgage, mortgage rates have come down significantly, so that's worth taking a look at. Unlike the financial crisis of 2008, I'm seeing a lot of banks and credit unions stepping up and offering assistance that they've never offered or that they weren't in a position to offer in 2008 when the banks were in a much tougher financial position. But over the last 12 years or so, they've really shored up their capital requirements and are in a much better position and are really stepping up to offer support to their customers as well. You see auto manufacturers, you know, postponing payments, reducing interest charges, those sorts of things. So I would explore every one of those things, and you might come to find that there's a lot more savings at your fingertips than you might have originally thought. And which I think one of the comforting factors is it starts to put people in a position where they feel like they've got a little bit more control over their situation than to have everything dictated to them. And I think that alone, just from a mental standpoint, helps people feel more secure and more confident with what's going on. And the final piece I'd tell you is the CARES Act checks that are sent out. You know, the government would really love to see people take that money and spend it and stimulate the economy. And I get that. And that's important for all of us to have a strong, healthy economy. But the first economy you've got to take care of is the one right at home. And so if that money is better spent in savings, or if it's better spent paying down credit card debt or putting towards your mortgage or a car payment, you know, instead of running right out and buying a brand new TV or burning the money some other way, just make sure that you're applying that money however it fits your personal situation best.
Yeah, I think viewing this season, this situation, in the light of the suggestions you just shared, reflecting on what you actually spend money on and is it truly necessary now or in the long run, and different opportunities to invest and save, I think that really helps us to transition our mindset from feeling very deprived, because right now can feel very much like deprivation. And instead, as you mentioned, the shift in mindset, it helps us to become more empowered, which is really what we want to do here at Army Wife Network. So I think from a financial viewpoint, those are really solid tips to transition from deprivation or being deprived to being empowered. That's really great.
Agreed. I completely agree. I think that feeling of empowerment is so important to us all. And hopefully those tips help put people in that position.
So speaking of tips, thinking about our kids right now, now and long term, what tips do you have for teaching our kids about savings?
Boy, this is a good time. I mean, it's I can tell you, my wife and I have five kids between us. And so I've never seen my kids with more time. They don't have after school activities. They don't have sports, the extracurricular stuff that they used to get involved in. They're seeing their friends far less frequently and far fewer of them than we ever have in the past. So for us, a silver lining in all of this is we're actually getting more time with the kids. But in that time, it's a great time to sit down and teach kids, you know, about saving money and the importance of putting money aside for situations like this. And all those tips that I just shared, you know, not every parent is going to be comfortable sharing everything about their budget, but instead of sharing the entire budget with the kids, you can start sharing them with them and help them be part of the decisions you're making. Do we eliminate this from our monthly budget? Could we do on less than this? If you're going to cancel a subscription or two, talk to them about what you're doing, why you're doing it. And as much as you feel comfortable pulling your children into the same discussions we just had about how we can empower families to be more in control of their finances, I would encourage families to do that. It makes it, you know, trying to teach my own kids about money when it's just a concept, right? They don't have a real reference point. It's harder for them to understand that and grasp exactly what you're teaching them or why. But if you can apply it to your exact personal situation and it becomes more real for them, and I think they'll grasp it better and I think it'll stick more. And those will be lessons. They'll remember this, right? This won't be, well, let's hope, you know, you keep saying, you know, unemployment is higher than it's ever been and it's gone faster than all the way back to the Great Depression. So in some ways, and I'm not comparing this to the Great Depression, but in some ways there are certain things that reflect that era, and people remember for the rest of their lives the lessons they learned during the Great Depression or during the 2008 financial crisis. We and our children will remember these times forever, and the lessons you teach them now, I'm willing to bet, will stick with them literally for the rest of their lives.
I think talking openly to our kids about finances, of course, you know, with some wisdom, with some boundaries, but just some level of self-disclosure and working through that takes away a lot of the intimidation factor and the stigma of handling finances responsibly. Being, you know, I didn't grow up in a household with conversations like that. It was, we just don't talk about it. And so becoming an adult, I was like, I want to be responsible, but I literally have no idea. So I think you're right on the money. Ha, pun intended. Oh man, that just came out of nowhere. But I think you're right on the money with, you know, talking to our kids, especially in the season where it's like, okay, let's make some adjustments and we're going to be okay. It really, really equips them for the future.
You know, I think too, if you make them part of that process and they get to be, you know, included in the discussion, hey, we've got two or three things we might want to cut out. Let's talk about which one's going to go. It just includes them in the decision, and they learn more and they feel like they've contributed to the family as well. And it, as crazy as it sounds, it's just more time you get to spend with your kids. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's time you wouldn't have had in the past because we're all so busy and not working from home and they're off doing their activities and so on.
Yeah, it cultivates maybe a family team mentality, yeah, instead of the us versus them, parents versus the kids. I can't exactly believe mom and dad cut this, but be like, here's why, or I had say in this decision, you know, to do what's best for our family in this season. That's really,
exactly,
really solid. So I mentioned a couple seconds ago, just thinking about finances in general seems intimidating, at least from my perspective, when, yeah, I grew up. So tell us about the services and offerings that First Command creates for service members. Is there a charge to meet with an advisor? And what can they expect when they meet with a financial advisor?
I'm really glad you asked that. We have a very specific financial planning process that we try to work through with each one of our clients, especially our new clients. On the front end, we literally just try to take the time to get to know our potential new clients and do they believe this would be, you know, will we be a good fit for them? Will they be a good fit for us? And really make sure that we're going to gel. And then assuming the person or the couple wants to move forward, first thing we would do is sit down and really understand the person's goals and dreams and where they are today and what they're trying to accomplish financially as they go forward, what type of risk they're comfortable taking and all those sorts of things. And that helps us establish not only the baseline, but what to really establish where you're trying to go 5 or 10 or 20 years from now. From all that information, our advisors will then create a financial plan for the prospective client. And then that person or that family will come back for a second meeting and the advisor will deliver that financial plan to the family. Up until that point, what's great about our process is there is no cost or no obligation all the way through that plan delivery. So if you get that plan in your hands and you say, well, you know, this is great, but maybe I'm just not ready to do something about this yet, there's no cost or no obligation for that. But if they say, you know what, this makes a whole lot of sense to us and I see your recommendations and we're ready to move forward with those recommendations, then whatever fees or commissions that come with the solutions that are implemented into that financial plan, those normal fees and commissions would apply. But the fact that we do not charge ever an active duty military family for the financial planning process or the financial plan that we deliver to them is something I think goes a long way in the military market. Years ago, we actually did charge. So if you wanted a financial plan delivered to you, there was a fee for that. And several years ago, we got away from that. And the reason we did is we found it was too much of a barrier to entry for too many military families. Too many military families think financial planning is either too expensive for them to afford or that they don't have enough money for a planner to want to work with them. And for us, we've tried to take both of those away. So no longer do we charge for the financial plan itself, which has helped more people get on a path to financial success. The other issue that we've addressed is this whole issue of I don't have enough money. And there is no minimum to work with First Command. You'll find a lot of financial services companies out there that have, you know, minimums in the tens of thousands of dollars, for instance. And we're very happy to start with clients that have very little or no money. The first step with them is we have to get them out of credit card debt. Too often we find military families have $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 in credit card debt. And the first thing we have to do is help them refinance that debt. Like we talked about earlier, get that interest rate down, start paying off of that debt, and then start with a small investment plan or of $50 or even $100 a month or a small insurance plan to get them the level of insurance they need. So not only are we happy to work with those small amounts in the military, that's often the place we find ourselves is working with very small investment amounts, insurance amounts, paying off credit card debt and getting people on a much better financial path. And maybe that's the third point I'd make too, Sharita, is, you know, it's, you know, is there a charge for the financial plan? No. Do I have enough money? We do not have a minimum. What we often say is, you know, we don't chase wealth at First Command. We actually help people build it. But the third piece that often keeps people away is the, boy, my finances are a mess and I'm kind of embarrassed and I don't really want to go in and have to confront this. I would just implore people to not let that be a barrier to going down, sitting with a financial advisor. If you think yours is a mess, we've probably seen worse and we're not there to judge people, right? We are really there to help. They often say the best time to start building your financial plan was yesterday. And if you didn't do it yesterday, the second best time is today. Mm-hmm. And the sooner you get on that, the better you're going to be for the long term. And you mentioned the word empowerment earlier. Personally, I don't think from a financial standpoint, there's anything more empowering than sitting down and developing, you know, with you and your significant other, what your roadmap is going to be to get you to financial security over some period of time.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, I don't want to make this interview all about me, but, you know, my husband and I just 10 months ago, I think, got connected with First Command here in El Paso. And initially I was like, oh man, I don't even know. Like, what's he going to say? And holy cow, George has been so good to us as far as help, like teaching us things, but he just knows his stuff. He's prior service. So he gets the military. He gets the, you know, my, like him and I feel like George Benter and my husband could be BFFs. even though there's a couple decades of age separating them, they are just like hardcore and intentional, but still so gracious. So George has let us go at our own pace and, you know, he shoots high and then we're like, I don't know if we can pull that off. And so he'll pull back and he's so authentic. And we have just, you know, we're on the path now and really feeling a whole lot more empowered and less like intimidating and overwhelmed with that. And we got connected with First Command through your relationship with Army Wife Network, because I didn't even know you guys really existed and all the great things you do until you partnered with us. So that's been really, really cool for our family. And we're excited to see where that goes. Just feel like you guys are in our corner, which is awesome.
That is so great to hear. I'm not surprised, but you know, I can't tell you how great it makes me feel to hear that. George is an excellent advisor. Our office out there at Fort Bliss is outstanding. So many former military people and so many passionate people there. And with we've got roughly 500 advisors around the world and 80 district advisors that support them. And 80% of our field force is either former military or military spouses themselves. So you say they could be BFFs. There is an immediate, as you well know, immediate credibility and an immediate understanding and empathy for the challenges that military families face. And that connection goes a long way. That trust goes a long way. And the fact, and something I probably should have mentioned earlier, the fact that our advisors understand the military benefits so well. So you talk about empowerment. I mean, how many military families don't understand and therefore take advantage of all the benefits they have available to them, well-deserved benefits. But if somebody doesn't sit down with them and explain, here's what this is and here's how it works and here's how you want to use it to your benefit, a lot of those benefits go unused, and that's a shame. And so for me, it's sort of like leaving free money on the table if you don't take advantage of it. To have somebody that can not only explain them to you, but show you how to leverage those benefits is another big win, I think.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And we've seen that from our relationship with the First Command office here at Fort Bliss and George's commitment to help us sign paperwork social distance wise. Like, he's came to our house and met us across the driveway, like put papers down, let us sign, you know, following all the rules and regs, but just like, let's make this happen for you guys. So
that's great. We're trying to do as much as we can electronically and make it easier for everybody, clients and advisors. And we've added, you know, it's funny when you're pressed, people get real creative on how we can find more ways to do more electronic work, you know, quicker than we ever have. But every once in a while, it still requires a face-to-face interaction, even if that face-to-face is 6 feet or more away. But it's great to see that moving forward. And yeah, we're doing everything we can to make sure people get on and stay on that path to financial success, even through this pandemic.
You mentioned just a couple of moments ago, talking about hiring a lot of prior service and military spouses and looking at military spouses and sometimes the barriers to employment that we sometimes face. Tell us a little bit more about the hiring process or what you guys at First Command are doing with hiring military spouses in your organization.
Yeah, we are a big fan of hiring military spouses. I think up front, we often hear from folks, I didn't go to school and get a finance degree and I never thought about being a financial advisor. Is that possible? And what we tell them is, if you have a passion or love for serving the military, and virtually every military spouse does, and a strong work ethic, then, you know, we will literally teach you everything else you need to know. And for us, with military spouses being highly educated, hardworking, most of them are making the majority of the family's financial decisions already. So they understand the issues. They empathize with the challenges that military families face. Military spouses are incredibly resilient, and many of them, from what I've seen and what we've seen, are looking for careers, not just jobs. And too often when the economy hits a rough patch like we have now, the jobs that military spouses are in are quickly the ones that are eliminated first. And therefore, you know, that puts a strain on military families. But with such high unemployment and underemployment, we are always looking to hire military spouses because, again, you know, all the reasons I mentioned, and they have an immediate market, right? Because they're well connected to other military spouses. They're highly trusted. That I don't have to tell you how well networked, you know, military spouses are. And it just presents an opportunity, a sort of a natural market for them to go out and to grow their business. And what really excites us is this is really an opportunity for military spouses to improve the lives of other military families by continuing to serve those who serve. And while they're serving others, our advisor spouses are also pursuing financial security for their own families. Mm-hmm. So this ends up being a career where you can do really well by doing good. And I think that's a huge attraction for our military spouse advisors. And it's probably no surprise they tend to be some of our best performing advisors because of the natural market and the trust they have and the work ethic that they bring to the position. We have about 180 offices around the world. The vast majority of them are near a military installation. And whatever skills you develop in one first command office are completely transferable to another first command office. So as our military families are PCSing, you know, from one location to the other, our military spouses can take those skills and transfer them to the next location. And so it really ends up becoming a career that's transportable as opposed to getting, you know, one job in this location, a different job with a different company in another location, and so on and so on. And that's been a big attraction for our military spouses. And we've got positions as advisors, as associate financial advisors, as administrative assistants, as office managers. So if being an advisor isn't right up your alley and you'd like more of a support position, we tend to have those opportunities in all those offices as well.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a win for everybody involved, for you guys, yep, for mill spouses, for their families. And yeah, so any AWTR listeners out there interested in employment opportunities, look up First Command. I can vouch that they are a great company and very supportive, and they're out for excellence. So I'm grateful for that.
Thank you, Sharina.
Well, Mark, as we get ready to wrap up our special feature, Time Together, would you be willing to share with us a favorite budgeting or just a personal finance tip that you've developed over the years?
The one I would give you right now is don't panic. And I know that might sound a little cliche. You know, I hate to admit it, but I've been in this business almost 30 years now. And while every one of these crises are different, to me, they always end up the same. We always work our way through them. We always seem to come together and band together and work our way through them. People go back to work. The markets start to go back up. You know, when will that happen and how aggressively will that happen? No one really knows for sure. But this will pass. And if you can find ways to stay focused and empower yourselves to you know, go through all those savings tips that we mentioned, to look at your financial plan, review it, or to build it for the first time and really take control of your personal financial situation, don't panic. As you said when we started, Sharita, or earlier when we were talking, maybe a silver lining in all this, there have been too many government shutdowns where the military was threatened to not get their pay, or then the last one when the Coast Guard didn't get their pay. At least on the military side, you know, our military men and women are still collecting a paycheck, which is great. At least, even if both spouses aren't collecting an income right now, at least one of them still is. Mm-hmm. And this will pass and people will go back to work. So stay empowered, stay positive, don't panic. And we're going to get through this. And as usual, we're going to come out stronger on the other end.
I can't think of a better way to end this very special and important interview. Just the word of encouragement and empowerment of, hey, we're in this together. Hunker down, you know, tighten your belt a little, crouch over, like, let's ride through this storm and we will all come out the other side, possibly even better off than when we started. Who knows? So,
yep.
Well, Mark, as we do close this out, can you let our listeners know where they can go to find even more empowering information about creating a financial plan, specifically with First Command?
Yep. Just hit our website at www.firstcommand.com. Firstcommand.com. On there, we've got places where you can go to get to look into how you start your financial plan. There's a section called Getting Started. There's a career section on there. And just, I think today, in fact, we're announcing our COVID-19 Resource Center, where we've got information from our chief investment officer, articles around those things, articles around mental health while you're staying at home, how to avoid scams that are popping up all over the place because of COVID-19. I've got a client letter or two on there, but all of our COVID-19 coronavirus information all in one place in the Coronavirus Resource Center. So lots of great information there. Our team in the home office has been doing a great job getting great information out and putting it all in one place. And I'd really encourage folks to take a look at it because I think you'll find it very helpful.
Absolutely. And I noticed that you guys had, I don't know if I wouldn't say I was surprised, but I was like, oh, they have stuff about mental health, about help for homeschooling. It's not just financial stuff, but you guys have really branched out and providing a wide variety of resources for us during this challenging time within our nation, country, world. So we're really grateful for that. And Mark, I just so appreciate you making time in your schedule, because I know you are a busy, busy man as CEO of First Command. And I just thank you for sharing these resources with our listeners. As I mentioned, husband and I, we've been working with First Command for probably the last 10 months or so, and it has made such a difference already. We joke about we're adulting. We feel like such grown-ups now, and First Command is helping us with that.
Good deal. Well, thank you for having me on. It was my pleasure and privilege to be here. I can't thank you enough for having me, and I'll just say as I sign off, stay safe to everyone, and we'll get through this.
Thank you so much, Mark. Listeners, I encourage you to go ahead and get connected with First Command Financial Services, both in person, perhaps in an office. Call first because they might be closed, but they're still available online through their website, firstcommand.com. And you can also connect with them on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at First Command. You can also reach out to Mark on LinkedIn by searching Mark Steffi. Last name is spelled Steffi. Thank you guys so much. And now, I've always wanted to say it, back to the studio with our host.
Such empowering financial information. Thank you, First Command team. Remember, if you would like to tap into their resources, connect with them online at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at First Command, and on LinkedIn at Mark Steffi. Well, listeners, our mission is accomplished for this episode of AWTR. We hope to see you online each Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live MillSpouse Empowerment Moments. You can also subscribe to our podcast on the podcast app of your choice and catch new episodes Mondays and Thursdays each week. Tune in for our next full-length episode of AWTR when our Army Wife Network Command Team member Sharita will be interviewing Government Action Officer Dr. Nick Polizzi to talk about mental health awareness and the Real Warriors campaign. It's going to be another empowering show.
Listeners, we encourage you to follow us across all social media platforms with our handle at Army Wife Network and invite your tribe to join us as well. We are stronger and more empowered together. Tag your friends and share this podcast. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts to let everyone know how Army Wife Network helps you in your military life journey.
Listeners, we want to be your metaphorical energy drink in this military life. We are here cheering you on no matter what military life throws your way. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.